Good morning, good morning. God is a great God. I want you to come and be a part of our membership classes, but if you came in, if you've been here at Every Nation for a while, if you know the routine, fine, don't worry about it. If you've been at Grace Chapel, you remember there, don't worry about it. But if you would love to know, if you'd like to be informed, then please come and be a part of the membership classes. All right, I'm excited about the Word today. How about you? I'm excited it's Father's Day. As a matter of fact, I'm excited that I got up pushing in and out air. At my age, that's a, you know, dear Lord, praise God. But you know, I looked around and God has blessed us all. We praise God for what He's done. And I kind of want to just recognize, so I don't normally do this. I told someone today, I said, you know, I'm not good on these floral holidays. I just never did get into Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandpa's Day, Grandma, all that kind of stuff. I never got into all, but you know, some people are due great honor, and I have a friend of mine that's here, is a member of our church, member of this church. His name is Chet Pearson, and Chet is 96 years old, a great dad, and so welcome to, it's so good to have you with us. At 96, I hope that I can get here and be a part. 96 years old, wow. June 29th, we didn't mention this earlier. June 29th, we're going to have a dinner right after service for those people that would like to be a part of our First Impressions group. That's ushers and greeters and all of these folks, a connection table and everything. If you're interested in that, you'd like to be a part of that ministry here at the church, plan to stay with us on June 29th for just a little bit. We're going to feed you after service, you and your family, so come and be a part of that, and I'd like for you to sign up at the connection table that you are interested, and you'll be here because we certainly want to have enough of bologna sandwiches for you. Amen. Have your Bibles with you this morning. I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke. We're going to be in the second chapter. It's a very powerful passage of scripture. I'm going to be ministering today about what God does. What is God doing in the church today? And we're going to be we're starting a series, and next week Ron is going to be preaching on how God is building today and what He builds upon. And we know He builds upon precept, word upon. We know these, but we need to know how that is applicable in our lives today. And so I'm just going to pick up that there. But today, I want to talk with you about how God builds, but what He builds on. How many of you know that before you can build anything, you've got to have a foundation? I'm not a contractor or a builder, but I do know that if you don't have a good foundation, whatever you put up is not going to stay up. You must have a good foundation. And we got to have a good foundation in whatever we do for God. We can't just jump out here and start building without a foundation. And I've learned through God builds on favor. Look at somebody and say, favor, the favor of God. Now, in Luke, we're going to begin reading in the second chapter with the 41st verse. Now, his parents, talking about Jesus, that's Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. All right, now watch this. His parents, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem every now and then. Faithfully. Every year. Every year. They went and they celebrated Passover. I say this here. Jesus was a good Jew boy. And Jesus practiced Judaism, and he was taught from his youth up that you're to honor the word of God and the command of God. And at Passover, we got to go and remember how our God delivered us from the Egyptians. We got to have a Seder meal, and then we got to tell the story over and over and over. So every year, say every year, faithfully, they went to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, they spent the entire feast there. They didn't leave before the feast was over. They didn't leave before everything was completed and what they needed to hear and what they needed to do and what they needed to observe had been accomplished. They stayed for that. I found that in church, sometimes we leave before we leave. I found that sometimes we about halfway through the sermon, we begin to wander. We begin to get to where we're going before we get there. Amen. And so we find that when Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem, they stayed for the entire feast. And I want to challenge you this morning. All I'm asking for is about 25, 28 minutes. I want you to just give God everything you've got and grasp and take in and stay with him the whole time. Because right at the end, he may have something that's going to bless you for the rest of your life. God may be saving the very best to the very last part. You know what? Most of the time we give up just before we get our blessing. We give up just before God says the blessing. So this morning I'm challenging you. Stay with me till the end of the feast. Stay with me till the end of Passover. Okay. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they could not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. This is such an amazing passage of scripture. 3 days later, we better go hunt him. You don't make you wonder, are they really responsible parents? But then watch this. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and at the answers that he gave them. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And watch this. Now, had Mary been from Tallahassee? "Where the heck have you been? Your daddy and me have been worried sick. 3 days. 3 days. Watch this now. And he said to them, "Why is it that you're looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand the statement which he had made to them. And when he went down with them, he came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing. Say increasing. Watch this, church. Today, June 15, 2014, you need to understand that you will either increase or you would decrease. You will either increase or you would decrease. You're not going to stay the way you are from now on. You will either increase or you would decrease. And it's up to you. It's your choice. It's your decision. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor. Say favor. God builds on favor. And in favor with God and man. Now, you know, when I said that, and I want you to understand me, I never questioned Mary's ability to parent. She was a great parent, and we know that Mary loved you. She was a great parent, and I can prove to you she was a good parent. Now, if you were to continue reading and you go into the third chapter of this book, you're going to find that the very next verse and from then on, they're going to be talking about the baptism of John and how Jesus came down to be baptized. So now, here we leave the second chapter with Jesus being lost and Mary talking to him. Now, we don't hear nothing else from Jesus for 18 years. She did a pretty good job. Maybe Mary needs to come teach a parenting class. I mean, we don't even hear him speaking. We hear nothing about him for 18 years. You know, I can remember I raised two boys. And there's a couple of times in life that I'd like to have been able to speak to them in such a manner that would kept them quiet for about 18 years. But that never happened. I want you to say favor with me. Favor. favor. You're going to have favor. There's different kinds of favor. But the favor that I want to talk with you about this morning is the favor of God. The favor of God in your life. The favor of God in your life brings a tremendous force that cannot be seen by the natural eye, nor can it be seen or understood by the natural mind. It is a force that takes you further than you thought you would ever go. And it's the favor of God. The favor of God has a force behind it. And this force is determined by where you get that favor from. If you get favor from man, then it's not going to have the force that if you get favor from God. Favor will force you. It's a force, and it will force you. I love this. You know, a lot of times, have you ever had something just happen to you and you didn't know, you really didn't push it? It just happened to you. And you acquired something, or you accumulated, or you did this, or you did that, and you recognize that it was a force behind you. This is the favor of God. The favor of God is a force, and this force will force you to go places that you never thought you would be able to go. It will force you to do things that you never thought you would be able to do. It will force you to have things that you never thought you would be able to have. You know, we all look for opportunities to minister the word of God. I tell you, there's no greater feeling to me, and I've experienced this many times. I know you, most of you have too. But the Lord has laid on my heart to go and pray for somebody, and I see an immediate release. I see where God has immediately healed someone, immediately delivered someone, where God has immediately provided a provision for someone. And you know that it's not your prayer that did it, but it's the force of the favor of God that is on your life. Listen, I would rather have the favor of God in my life than all of the money in the world. I'd rather have the favor of God in my life than all the material things in my life, because material things will vanish and will pass away, and money will go from you. It'll slip through your hands, but the favor of God, the favor of God is going to be with you forever. You can't run from it. You can't dodge it, and it'll force you to be who you thought you could never be. Oh, I'm telling you, if this is as good as it's going to get, this is not what I want. I believe that God's favor is going to move this church, it's going to move this city, it's going to move this nation, it's going to move this world. I believe that God's favor is going to take us to a place that we never thought we'd be able to go. I don't know about you, but it's the favor of God that's going to give me what I really need in life. You know why? Because I really don't know what I need. Some of you are a lot smarter than I am, and you already know what you need, and you even tell God what you need. Isn't it amazing how that the people that don't tell God what they need usually get the most? Let's look at Jabez. Let's look at Jabez. Jabez didn't tell God what he wanted him to do. He just said, Lord, just bless me. I love that. Lord, just bless me indeed. Just bless me. Here I am, Lord. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I just want you to bless me. I don't know if I need to go here, need to go there, if I need this, need that. I really don't know and really don't care. All I know is I want your favor on me, and I want you to bless me. And if I've got God's favor, I really don't need favor of man. Because the favor of man, let me tell you, man gives you favor because of your past. Man gives you favor because of your past. Something you've done, they've heard you did it for someone else, or maybe it's even something you did for them, but they're going to give you favor for that. And God gives you favor in spite of your past. God gives you favor in spite of your past. Oh, God doesn't check the record every time you pray and ask for something and say, I wonder what old Charles, I don't know, it's kind of iffy, but I'm going to let him have it. No. God blesses you and gives you favor in spite of you. You know, it's kind of like I love to tell people, you know, I'm going to get to go to heaven in spite of myself. It's the love of God. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the anointing of his Holy Spirit that's going to cause us to do more and have more. How many of you ever drank a cup of Mars coffee? Mar makes coffee. Sometimes you stand a spoon up, it won't even lean over. I drank a cup of her coffee. I said, oh my goodness. If I start doing backflips around here, it's not the anointing. Your coffee. You know, but it's that anointing of God. It's that anointing of God will cause you to do things and have more and have that favor that God has wanted you to have. I believe that we can be able to proclaim as Paul did in Philippians 4, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I know that God has given me the favor and I can do all things. Look at somebody and say, you can do all things. You can do all things. You can do all things. And the force of favor is going to push you past that point when you get as far as you can go. Man, I'm telling you, some of you, you know, really haven't lived until you've got to that place in life that you said, God, I've gone as far as I can go. I can't go any further. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know which foot to put ahead of the other and when to do it. I've gone as far as I can do. I believe there's a voice on the inside of us when we're walking in the favor of God that said, that's all right, do nothing. I'm going to walk for you. I'm going to walk for you. You know what I love? I love this. When I'm down to nothing, I got to realize that God's up to something. When I'm down to nothing, I got to realize God's up to something. I believe that when we get down as far as we can go and we don't know which way to go or which way to turn, God is saying, let me take over here. I've got favor I need to just sort of drip on you. I've got favor that I need to direct you in and allow you to get to that place you did not think you can go. It's the favor of God that's going to take you path where you can go by yourself. You know, Paul at the church of Philippi, he had received favor from the Philippians. And then he writes this thing, I can do all things through Christ. What he was saying is, look, I really appreciate the favor of God that has been laid upon my heart. And I know that I can survive when I have favor with you because I can come to you and you've met all of my needs and you've been good to me. And as long as I have you, I can survive. But if I want to just survive, that's okay. But if I want to go further than I've ever been before, I want the favor of God on my life. I can do all things. I can survive with you, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got to understand that we got to have a supernatural force to overcome the powers of hell that's raising against us. Our children and our youth and our college, we need an extraordinary power of God to fulfill our attitudes and our thoughts that we will be able to go forward and do what God's called us to do. High five somebody and say, you need the power of God. You need the favor and the power of God. You need the power of God in your life and you'll get it through the favor of God. Oh, listen, Paul thanked them, said, thank you. Oh, thank you for helping me and being with me. But I got to tell you something. I want the power of God in my life, and I want that favor. I want that force that comes with the favor of God. Listen, we got to realize that what God will give us will far exceed anything we can get from man. I believe that God wants us to start building on something this morning. And we got to build as God would build, and he wants us to build on his favor. All you need is the favor of God in your life. You know, you won't have near the problem. You'll have probably the same problem, but you'll be able to deal with them differently. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you've got a great job and somebody offers you a job, you don't mind turning it down. But if you don't have a job, you'll take anything that comes along. Come on, work with me. Here we go. Listen, I can tell y'all never been run off from a church. That was funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. Listen, what's this? We need to recognize that it's that favor of God and that God can take us to those places that we never thought we would be able to go, and it's his favor. Listen, one thing that you and I have in common, I don't know, don't care where you were born, how you were born. It doesn't matter if you're from up north or down south. It doesn't matter if you're black or you're white, if you're rich, you're poor. It really don't matter where. You and I have some things in common. You and I have a lot in common. And can I tell you something? One thing that we have in common is that all of us are continually aware of our past. How many of you know the enemy uses your past against you to destroy your relationship with God? That's all he wants to do is destroy. And you know what? He has the greatest helpers in the world, and they call church people. They just help the devil out all along because they keep reminding you of your past. Somebody say amen. Listen, or old me, but you can either recognize this or not. You need to realize right off the bat that the enemy wants to destroy your relationship with God, and the way he does it is by reminding you of your past. Everyone has a past. I want you to kind of look at the person next to you and say, you got a past. But God has removed it. God has removed it. We have these things that we're always, everyone in this building knows where they came from, and you know what you've been through. Listen, you got to realize that there's nothing in your history that God doesn't know. God knows everything about you, and not only that, God knows everything's going to happen to you. As much as we are aware of our past, God is in that much knowledge of our future. Isn't it amazing that God is everywhere present and nowhere absent, and that God wrote the end when he wrote the beginning? I mean, I'm talking about the very beginning, at the beginning, not the beginning of the Bible, but the beginning of the beginning. When God, you were thought of by God, he knew you then, and he wrote you in the history. He put your name down and he wrote you into history. He knew about you before you were. And he knows about your future. And I love this. You got to just hang with me on this. You know what just keeps me going every day? Every day I get up and I just want to thank God and rejoice in him that I know that God's already in my day. He's just waiting for me to live out that day. He's in my tomorrow. He's just waiting for me to get there. He was in yesterday. And guess what? He's still in yesterday. And you know what he's doing in yesterday? Beating the hell out of the devil. That's what he's doing in yesterday. He's taking care of the past as well as taking care of the future. And we love to believe God's going to take care of the future, but sometimes we just got to back up and say, God, I've got some things in the past. You need to get out of my mind and allow me to walk in the spirit and the comfort that you are God of my whole life, the God of my past and the God of my future. Hey, what's this? How many of you know that God is not only aware of our past, we're aware of our past, and we regret it? I believe there's not a person in this building that doesn't have some things in their past that they don't regret. Come on now. Come on. I think about some of the things I've done, and I'm thinking, you know, you're crazier than what I thought you were. How could you do that? How in the world could you, how could you do some of the things that you've done? And I say this with regret. Now, there's a difference. Help me, Jesus. There's a difference in regret and repentance. There's a difference in regretting and repenting. You don't need to regret, you need to repent. When you repent, you're getting rid of all of the residue of the past. Oh, you know, residue is iniquity. God said, I will forgive you and forget your sins and what? Your iniquities. Oh, God wants to get rid of the residue. We're hauling too much junk around. Come on, church. We're hauling too much stuff around. God wants to get rid of the iniquity. He wants to get rid of the residue of the past. So where we regret what we've done, God redeems what we've done. Come on, church. God redeems you from your past. You know what I believe? I believe, so we deal with our past with regret. God, he deals with our past with redemption. And he speaks to our future prophetically. God's a God of prophecy. That's the reason that we need to recognize that there's no room for error in prophecy, because God knows it all. And if God says it, it's there. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. If prophecy is always true, if it comes from God. Listen, God could not write the beginning without writing the end. What's it? This is so good. God could not write the beginning without writing the end. See, God wrote your beginning and the end at the very same time. Y'all don't understand this, and it's hard for me to understand it too, but some things I got to accept by faith. When God began to write my beginning, he said, I'm going to go ahead and write his end right now. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. But God's already wrote the end to it. It's over. It's over. All you got to do is begin to recognize and fulfill the promises of this word and know that God has redeemed you from your past and God has put your future right in your hand. Almost all you got to do is reach out and grab it. It's almost there. You can't give up now. God could not write you. He wrote your end when he wrote the beginning of you. All right, now watch this. This is going to surprise somebody. How many of you know that you were predestined to be saved? You were predestined to be saved? But listen, the only thing that can separate you from what you were created for is pride. Pride is the worst enemy that we come against in all of our lives. Every sin begins with pride. Come on. We don't like to hear stuff like this. You know why? Because it's true. pride is that thing that would destroy you. It can separate you from God. It can separate you from the anointing. It can separate you from the favor of God. It's pride. Somebody say pride with me. All sins begins with pride. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, Peter quoted the very same proverb, a warning not to be proud. Listen, I believe this. I believe that pride will destroy your favor from God. I tell you what, we got to recognize and be careful that we don't get too religious. Somebody help me. I'm telling you, we don't get too religious and we don't say things like, well, I would never do that. I'm telling you, and this day and time, you read in the paper, see on the news where people are doing things that we never thought they'd do. I mean, young people that come in and go across college campuses, shooting one another, killing one another, going in theater, which I would never do something like that. You don't know what you'd do. If the enemy got a grip on you, you don't know what you would do. But thanks be to God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're above those things. We don't have to worry about those things because we're walking in a different kind of walk and we're doing a different kind of thing. And God is giving us favor that when God's favor comes in, it rushes out all of those things that would cause you to do those ungodly things. All right, watch this. If you really want to push someone away from God, just get arrogant with them or get religious with them. Listen, let me tell you something. I'd have probably been a Christian a long time before I became a Christian, if I hadn't had to deal with those Christians. I mean, that was back when everybody, all the Christians I knew that claimed to be Christians wore dresses and big old bun on their head, and I'm telling you, and looked down their nose at you. It was hard for me to accept that kind of thing. And if we want to become arrogant and religious, all we're going to do is push people away. They'll turn on you. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I'm going to give you a good word. You want to win your loved ones. You want to win your friends. You want to win your husband. You want to win your wife. You want to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to do it through love. Love edifies. Love lifts up. It's not puffed up in any way. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, read about it. We need to understand that love is those things that will draw people to you. It's not going to push people away. Listen, you cannot have favor with a prideful spirit. I could preach that, but I'm not. You cannot have favor with a prideful spirit. I'm going to tell you something a lot of you people didn't know. How many of you know that at one time, the devil, Satan himself, was in heaven? And how many of you know that he didn't get kicked out of heaven for drinking beer and smoking cigarettes? He got kicked out of heaven for a prideful spirit. Oh, listen to this. Isaiah talks about it in the 14th chapter. I will ascend up to the heavens, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I'll sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farther sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. I love this. And you know what God said? God said, you got to go. You got to go. Listen, a prideful spirit will get you kicked out of heaven. It's that prideful spirit. God said, you got to go. I think we better forget about our past and quit worrying about the sins that man called great and get pride out of our hearts. Oh, I'm going to tell you something that you probably heard preachers say all your life. You know, when you get to heaven, if you get there, when you get to heaven, you're going to find people there you didn't think would ever make it. This is the good part about it. They're going to be thinking the same thing about you. How in the world did he get here? Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, we need to forget about our path. Proverbs 3:6 says, if you will acknowledge the Lord, if you will acknowledge the Lord, oh, man, this is great. If you will acknowledge the Lord, he will direct your path. If you will acknowledge the Lord, how many of you know that you will never become proud if you just acknowledge the Lord? And that's a good way to keep from becoming proud. It's just acknowledge the Lord. Listen, have you ever tried to make a decision that you knew you could not make it on your own? You needed God to help you do this. That's when you just acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. All right, here we go. Listen up. Acknowledge. The word acknowledge. The word acknowledge means to transform the knowledge or transfer the knowledge. When you acknowledge God, you're saying, I'm going to transfer this to you. I don't have the knowledge to deal with it, so I'm going to transfer it to you. I don't know about you, but there's things in my life that I don't have an answer to. There's things that I have to face that I don't have an answer to. But I can transfer that to the God of the whole earth. I can just simply transfer that to the God that really knows. I can transfer that and not have to worry about it another time. Look at somebody and say, all you need to do is transfer. Just transfer. Take it to God and let God have it. Listen, Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. I don't know how to handle this, so I'm just going to transfer it. The leader in the synagogue come to Jesus, and he said, I too am a man under authority. When I say to this one, go, he goeth. To that one come, he cometh. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I too am a man under authority. I'm going to transfer it. I'm going to transfer it. I got some things that I need to just transfer this morning. I've tried to deal with it. I've done the very best I could, but I just need to transfer it. I need to acknowledge the God that I serve. I need to transfer. I need to acknowledge him this morning. Oh, listen, I just believe that God wants to give you favor this morning, but you've got to receive it in your humility and not in your pride. You've got to receive it in your humility and not in your pride. The force of favor, number one, is going to change your destiny. It's going to change your destiny. 1 Chronicles 4:9 tells us about that guy Jabez. I love Jabez. Jabez was such a man that loved God. Oh, Jabez just, he loved the Lord so much. You know, when I read this book, you know what I find? I find I'm a pretty terrible God lover. Come on. I know all of you are so anointed, you glow in the dark when you sleep. but I know that some of us don't. Some of us aren't quite that. There yet, you know. Some of y'all are walking on the water, and I'm still tiptoeing through tulips. You know, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But watch this. Hear me. When I read this book, I read about these guys, And I'm thinking, now they love God. They trust God so much, and I'd fail the test. Even if I studied, I'd fail the test. These guys, people like Jabez. Jabez just trusted the Lord so much that he didn't even try to tell him what to do for him. I'm not that away, God. You got to hear me, God. This is what's got to happen. Aren't you that away, kind of? We want to tell him how to help us, tell him how to do for us, tell him how to bless us. Jabez, yes, I trust you. Just go ahead and bless you. Look at Abram. I love this about Abram. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he takes off over there, and he gets in a mess, and here comes hellfire and brimstone out of heaven, and everybody's killed, and he, it's just a mess. Remember, before that happened, they even took him off. The kings had gathered together and come against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took him off. Well, Abram took his people, his men of battle, and he went and brought Lot back and all the other people and all the stuff back. Abram did this because God told him to go, said, pursue them, go. And so he went and he did. When he gets back, this is the most beautiful part of this whole thing. The king of Sodom and Gomorrah come to Abram and said, Abram, give me my people back, but you can take all of the spoil, all of the goods, and you can have that. I'm going to give that to you. You know what Abram said? Oh, no. I don't want nothing you got, because if you give me something, one of these days you might say Abraham is where he is because I blessed him. And he said, I want the world to know that my God blesses me and him only. Listen, church, that's the kind of man I like to be. I don't know about you. That's the kind of man I like to know, that God, I may be walking through the worst situation and circumstances of my life, but I want to know that my God is walking before me. I want to know that God's able to take care of me and will minister to me. Stand up. Somebody's destiny is going to change today. I got to say this. I just got to say this. I don't usually preach on this about Jabez, but it's a good point that we need to make. Do you know why Jabez was named Jabez? Because he was a pain. She said, I named him Jabez because I delivered him in pain. What's this? You got to hear this. How would you like to have a name, Pain Giver? I'd like you to meet my friend, Pain Giver, over here. Hey, you go to school and you get into first grade and the teacher said, what's your name? My name, Pain Giver. You go to get a job. I need a job. I need it bad. What's your name? I'm going to call you Pain. My name, Pain Giver. What's this? But when he transferred to God, when he acknowledged God, his name changed, his destiny changed. Remember Jacob, no longer shalt thou be called Jacob, but Israel. Y'all, I feel a preach coming on, but I got to get out of here. Listen, somebody's destiny, someone's destiny is going to veer off and take a different course, and the favor of God is going to direct their path. Every head bowed, never eye closed. And if you're willing to say with me this morning, God, I need a change. I need a change. I need a change in destiny this morning. I need, God, for you to touch me, and I need your favor to drip off of me like honey this morning. I need for you to be more than I could ever be, because I'm going to acknowledge you as my God. I'm going to transfer my question to you. I'm going to transfer my problem to you. I'm going to transfer my situation, my circumstance to you, oh God. Lift up that hand and put it right back down. I'm not going to call you out. Oh, hallelujah. Father, you saw those hands go up in faith this morning. And Lord, I speak over them in the name of Jesus Christ, that favor would drip out of heaven like honey, like you threw manna out of heaven onto that wilderness and fed the people of Israel. Let your favor come out of heaven like manna, like honey, and drip on your people this morning. Father, I want to praise you and I want to thank you. And as they begin to sing and play wherever they are, as they begin to sing and play, I want to say something to you. If you need prayer, I want you to come up and gather around. We've got prayer people that would love to pray with you. I want you to come in Jesus' name. That's it. Come. All over the bit. Come right now. I need the favor of God. And I believe that's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's the favor of God. God wants to bless you. All he wants you to do is acknowledge him. That's it. Just come in Jesus' name. Just come. Let's have our pastors and come in. Let's pray. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe God this morning.